Page 94, the Private Eye podcast.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Page 94. My name is Andrew Hunter Murray, and a special welcome because it's the super exciting Christmassy end of year Private Eye live at the National Theatre show, recorded live here at the National Theatre. It is a brilliant whistle-stop tour of the year's news, all expressed in the pages of the Private Eye Annual, available all good bookshops, and it's about to begin. So, without further ado, over to the magazine's editor, Ian Hislop.
Good evening. Thank you very, very much indeed. I can't tell you how pleased we are to be back here at the National doing this show again, which we haven't done since 2019 due to some problems that many of you will have appreciated. No, we couldn't do it because of COVID, and eventually now we can do it because everything's back to normal and the country's running fine. It's been an extraordinary year, and Private Eye has covered it in the pages of the magazine and now in the pages of the annual, which we produce once a year. And this is our attempt to take it from the page and onto the stage. I'd like to think of this production of the year's events as our truth. i.e. we've made it all up. This is the first time since 2019, and you will notice that we are one short on stage from the usual cast because the great John Sessions is no longer with us. So a small thought for all of us that he's no longer here. But we do have an amazing cast, and I would like you to welcome them on stage tonight. Mr. Lewis MacLeod, Miss Jan Ravens, and Mr. Harry Enfield. Okay, so I don't want to start off in a depressing way, because there has been good news recently, and it shows that some people in Britain are doing very well. This was the headline in a recent Eye piece.
Lucky Brit wins £200 million. An ordinary British woman has hit the headlines over a jackpot win of a lifetime and the award of about £200 million. The lucky lady in question, Baroness Michelle Moan, recommended ministers give contracts to the firm PPE Medpro, meaning they promptly dished out £200 million to buy PPE during the pandemic, most of which was never used. Said the lucky winner,
"Oh, the nice thing is that it's completely random. Absolutely anyone could have won this life-changing sum of money as long as they had access to the government's VIP lane, like me."
The multi-millionaire peeress said she would not be sharing the win with her family.
I've seen wild claims that my husband transferred £29 million to an offshore trust from the £65 million he made from the Medpro PPE deal for the benefit of my children and myself. But I can assure you that I have never met my husband, nor my children, and I have never had any involvement with any of them.
When challenged by a reporter who said that her story was full of holes, she said,
"You should see the PPE equipment we provided."
Baroness Moan. And her lawyers, who I've certainly never met. Thank you so much. I'll look forward to that. We can't get over the fact that this year we have had three prime ministers in one year. Fortunately, most of them have gone at time of recording. But the first to go was Boris Johnson. And fortunately, we had access to Boris Johnson's last day in office in real time. And here he is, the former Prime Minister, but one.
Hello, everyone. Sorry, I gave you a bit of a bum steer about Mr. Pincher. Poor choice of words, given the seriousness of Mr. Bum Pincher's bum pinching. And left you with egg on face. It turns out that I had met Mr. Pincher after all, and he was, in fact, a good friend and supporter, and only occasional sex pest. And I had said Pincher by name, Pincher by nature. Top bozzer banter. Still, I think I got away with it. Hang on. Sajid Javid's resigned. Cripes! Why has he done that? He's written me a letter saying I'm a liar who has no integrity. And his point is... double cripes! Rishi Sunak has resigned. He sent me a letter saying I have no integrity and I'm a liar. Well, no one's ever said that about me before. Well, you know. Triple cripes! Will Quince has resigned. He's written a letter saying he feels like a fool because I fed him a load of lies, which he repeated on Good Morning Breakfast. What's got into everyone? You'd think they'd never met me. And who the hell's Mr. Quince anyway? And it sounds like a character in Midsummer Night's Dream with Bottom and presumably Mr. Pincher close behind him. Multiple cripes. 21 other people have resigned. Still, doesn't mean the party's lost faith in me. Whoopsie, pashoopsie, whoopsie. 37 more have resigned. God, the rats are leaving the sinking shit. Giga cripes, 45 more. Does no one know the meaning of loyalty? Even Michael Gove's trying to resign and is telling me to do the decent thing. All right, Michael, you're fired. You snake, that's you leveled down. Super cripes are fragilistic, Brexit allidocious. 51 other people have resigned. Is there anyone left? Gadzooks, I'm surrounded by ingrates. As Cicero once said, infamy, infamy, they've all got it infamy. Sir Graham Brady says I have to resign. He's got the lectern out of the cupboard and says I have to make a speech tomorrow. Morning. I won't. Nobody tells me what to do. I'm not going to do you here. Never. I will never, ever resign. Okay, I was lying. I will.
And he's gone! Private Eye tries to offer an obituary service. We have a resident poet, a threnodist, who writes celebratory verses for the lives of the great and good. And we start with In Memoriam, Leslie Phillips, actor and legendary screen Casanova.
So, farewell then, Leslie Phillips, star of the Carry On films. Now, sadly, you will no longer be carrying on. You were Mr. Bell in Carry On Nurse in 1959, which is when you first uttered your immortal catchphrase, ding dong. Ding dong. Which served you so well for the next 63 years. But now, alas, the bell is tolling for thee. Ding dong, dong.
Leslie Phillips. We also cover sport. Yeah, we do. Now that I've become very au fait with football, I know who Gary Neville is. I'm very interested. So we've been collecting commentator balls, Simon Edmonds, at the magazine. And again, these are real gaffes and howlers from real football commentators. Conor McNamara said on BBC One,
"It's like London buses. You wait ages for one, then three turn up at once. And then you're away like a train."
A commentator on BBC Radio Norfolk.
"He works his backside off, and that's a massive thing."
Martin Keown on BBC One.
"The club could have gone into liquidisation."
Lee Dixon on ITV.
"It's win-win, apart from losing."
Glenn Hoddle said on BT Sport.
"I mean, look at that, so cool, calm and collective."
Another commentator on BT Sport added,
"All of a sudden you've got 4 or 5 seconds to make a split-second decision."
Matt Pryor said on TalkSport 2,
"He's going to need an ear to lean on."
Ian Dennis on Radio 4,
"Chelsea bowed out with their heads held high."
A commentator on BBC Radio London,
"He's very tall for his height."
Tim Sherwood on the Kelly and Wrighty Show.
In hindsight, you always look back.
Owen Hargreaves on BT Sport.
Messi is one of a kind, but Haaland is unique.
Commentator on Radio 5 Live.
Fabio Vieira scored a late goal early on.
Nathan Jones on BBC One.
It could have been a different game, but look, I'm not standing here saying it could have been a different game.
Glenn Murray on BBC One.
He had one opportunity and scored two goals.
And finally, from the World Cup, which obviously we have been watching, this was Rob Vickerman on the BBC Red Button.
England really need to try and get some inertia.
And the final word to a brilliant commentator on Radio 5 Live.
Saudi Arabia would bite your hand off for a draw right now.
Commentator Moles. We do try and offer a proper notes and queries answer service to real questions as a sort of scientific feature. And this year, the big question was, who or what is a Kwarteng?
Who or what is a Kwarteng?
A Kwarteng, as any physicist will tell you, is a subatomic particle released when a boson implodes after contact with a quark. It is one of the smallest nucleoids to have been identified by the Large Hadron Collider. The best-known quality of the Kwarteng is that it absorbs all known matter into a collapsing hole. And it's so dense that light can't pass through it. Some scientists believe that there is an even denser subparticle which imitates the behaviour of the Kwarteng. This is known as the quasi-Kwarteng.
And that was Professor Brian Coxman, Department of Astrophysics, University of Brian May, formerly Queen's College.
I'm afraid we can't avoid it any longer. Liz Truss was Prime Minister this year. And she didn't stay too long, but luckily she gave Private Eye her farewell speech.
Hello! And goodbye! Firstly, I'm proud to say that under my leadership, the Queen died. And then the economy did as well. I know! But it wasn't my fault. There's no relation between us tanking the economy and the economy tanking. It is a coincidence that the pound hit parity with the Terry's All Gold coin. And we only did one U-turn, which was on everything. So it doesn't count. A bit like Kwasi Kwarteng. So jokes. Look, everyone, serious face, I'm listening. They told me I was becoming a laughing stock, but that was good news. Laughing stocks are up. So I've stabilised the markets already, and more than that, I've united the party. They all hate me. I tried a charm offensive, but I forgot the first half. Legend. I said I was going nowhere, but I was wrong. The Lizzie is for turning. I know.
Ladies and gentlemen, Liz Truss. One of Jan's shorter-lived impersonations. Glad to see it out, though. Liz Truss did get to meet Zelensky. That was just about it. And we can't pretend there wasn't a war in Europe. But tonight, Private Eye is making a charity appeal on the issue of the Ukraine. So thank you very much for your generosity.
Little oligarch is only 59, but has tragically lost everything due to the horrific war in Ukraine. Through no fault of his own, Ollie has had to flee from his home in Belgravia and is now forced to find refuge wherever he can. We're asking you to open your hearts and give generously to little Ollie and his fellow victims of conflict.
£1 million will pay for his wife to feed and clothe herself for a month.
£2 million will buy him a desperately needed peerage.
£10 million will buy him a British law firm to prosecute journalists.
£150 million will buy him a Premiership football club.
£1 will buy him the Independence and Independence on Sunday.
Please give to our emergency crisis charity campaign now.
We'll be coming around with buckets. Never. The other thing that happened, yes, we had Liz Truss. We also had a new king, which meant that Private Eye had to have a new royal feature, a new romantic novelist to cover this extraordinary change in our constitutional position, and a new series, which is called The King of Troubles. And it's written by a new writer, Dame Hedda Shoulders, who's taken over from Dame Sylvie Grimm. So, I can just take you into the world of the new king. Charles was in ruminative mood as he confided in his oldest friend.
Wonders who worry that this awful crown thingy on the TV will make people think I'm some sort of weirdo.
There was no reply from the aspidistra in the corner of the royal drawing room in Buckingham Palace, where the artist formerly known as Prince Charles kept his easel and watercolours.
Your silence speaks volumes.
Charles was suddenly aware of the presence of Sir Alan FitzTightly, the new royal pen pursuivant, steward of the Stinkwell, and master of the Mont Blanc.
You're not talking to the plants again, are you, sire? I'm afraid the aspidistra doesn't have security clearance, and the new prime minister has just arrived.
Oh, God, not again. Dear, oh, dear. I mean, she really is.
Charles stopped himself in mid-flow before the word appalling could escape his lips, and he would get reprimanded from his vigilant aide-de-campion for expressing an unconstitutional opinion.
Your Majesty, may I present your Prime Minister, First Lord of the Treasure Trove, Amazon Primus Inter Pares, and leader of the Conservatist and U-Turnist Party.
Hello, Mrs. Truss.
But instead of the awkward, curtsying automaton Charles had expected, in walked a small, dapper, Asian-looking gentleman in a shiny suit.
Oh dear, oh dear.
Charles muttered to Sir Alan.
Hey, this chap's trousers seem to have stopped short of the journey to his suit.
This is Mr. Rishi, sire.
Sir Alan intervened.
Oh yes, of course. Yes.
Charles blustered, whilst privately thinking,
who on earth is this Mr. Rishi? Is he one of those Commonwealth chaps? Yes, that must be it. I must have met him on a tour of the subcontinent, when I visited the Hindu Kush and the great temples of the Flujab.
Charles remembered what his mama had taught him to do as she prepared him for the onerous duties of kingship.
Have you come far?
He asked Mr. Rishi brightly.
Indeed I have, sire. As I said in my video, let me tell you a story of a young couple who arrived in a new country and made a life through hard work and sheer dedication to the...
That's fascinating.
Charles hastily interrupted what looked like being a very long answer.
And which Commonwealth country are you head of again?
Britain, sire.
Charles was somewhat flummoxed by this unexpected reply.
Jolly, jolly good.
Beamed Charles.
Mr. Rishi's family come originally from India, Your Majesty.
Explained Sir Alan.
Oh, what a coincidence,
replied the King.
We used to own India.
It now belongs to my wife.
said Mr. Rishi. Charles was impressed.
Well, that's handy. Perhaps she could lend us some money. Apparently the previous lot in charge made a terrific hash of things.
Mr. Rishi laughed and bowed nervously, his trousers riding up above his knees, as Sir Alan hurriedly ushered him out of the room.
Au revoir, Mr. Rishi. Or is it goodbye?
Charles turned to his reticent green friend in the corner.
I think that went rather well.
King Charles and family. I'm aware that there's very, very little political balance in the evening to date, and I'm deeply ashamed of that. No, I am. And for that reason, I'm very happy to bring on Keir Starmer, the leader of the opposition. Yes, he is. And we have a fortnightly Keir Starmer column, and this is the flavour of the sort of thing that you are going to expect.
Hello. Welcome to my new column. That is, if you like columns. If not, it can easily be a think piece, a lifestyle article, or an op-ed featurette. Whatever floats your boat. And if you're not keen on boats, whatever floats your pedalo, dinghy, or catamaran. And if floating's not your thing, then sinking is absolutely fine with me. I'd like to get on to my main point, which is my utter disdain for Rishi Sunak, half-heartedly tying himself in knots in a desperate attempt to please all of the people all of the time. So you can see the clear difference between us. Rishi is wishy-washy, sitting on the fence and trying to be all things to all men, whereas I am quite clearly resolute and steadfast about my desire to appeal to one and all. I'm sorry, but if you don't like that, then there's nothing I can do other than modify everything I've just said into something you'd rather I had said, like strikes. Of course, I'm fervently in favour of the right to strike, but at the same time, I'd rather you didn't strike if that's all right with you. So whether you're aboard a pedalo, dinghy, or catamaran, you can see the clear blue water that lies between me and wishy-washy Rishi. And if you prefer dry land, then who am I to disagree? Vote Labour, if that is your preference.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Leader of the Opposition. Just a quick check that we haven't missed any of the major issues. Private Eye does run school news to make sure that we know what's going on in the major and minor fee-paying independent boarding schools of Britain. This is the news from St. Cakes, which has had a difficult term since the war started. Sanctions term resumes today. There are three boys in the school, down from 397. FSS Novichok, oligarchs, is no longer head of school. KGB Polonium, McMafia's, is no longer senior prefectum. Iber Thermobaric Missile, Vlad's, is no longer captain of war games. The master in charge of computer studies, Mr. Botsky, is on sabbatical until further notice. He's been replaced by supply teacher, Mr. Hugh Arway, who comes to us from the highly respected Beijing Academy for Xi Jinping thought on socialism with Chinese characteristics for a new era. The sailing club has been suspended until further notice due to the school super yachts being impounded in Monaco, Gibraltar and Bodrum. The headmaster, Mr. RGJ Kipling, is the subject of an unexplained wealth order and will be unavoidably busy helping the authorities with their inquiries. The school production of Dostoevsky's Crimea and Punishment is cancelled due to a boycott by the remaining parents, Mr. and Mrs. Double Barrel Bomb. The school concert, Tchaikovsky's 2022 Overture, has been replaced by a series of patriotic Elgar classics, including the Enigma Machine Variations, Nimrod Liddle, and Land of Hype and Tory from the pomp and circumstances beyond our control. Sweet. The end of term for some cakes, and indeed the end of the world for everyone else, will be on November the 23rd. Thanks very much for St. Cakes for sharing that important information with us. And there's just time, we've had news literally just come in. The New Year's honours list, the Boris Johnson resignation dishonours list, has been leaked to us, and we're delighted to share it with you tonight.
Baroness Frutella of Tottington, aged 23, formerly Deputy Assistant Head of Wine Suitcase Replenishment in No. 10 Downing Street, March 21 to May 21.
Lord Spaddy McSpadface of That Spad, aged 22, formerly Assistant Deputy Secretary of Song Selection on Karaoke Machine in No. 10 Downing Street, November to December 2021.
Dame Mad Nad of Toady Hall. Age not available. Famous romantic novelist and part-time culture secretary. Best known for her books, The Beauty and the Bozzer, Etonians Prefer Blondes, and the raunchy Plans for the Privatisation of Channel 4 and the BBC.
Baron Stanley of Johnson, age 94, for his hands-on approach to gender equality in the House of Commons.
Lady Jennifer of Arcury, 36, 24, 36, for services to amalgamating the IT and pole dancing industries.
Lord Carphone of Warehouse, 02758, your call is important to us. Please hold. For provision of holiday services on the island of Mustique to underprivileged and destitute former Prime Minister.
And one rather controversial one just come in. It's Lord Fuck of Bollocks. This is formerly Paul Dacre, editor of the Daily Mail. And the veteran of previous nomination lists for which he was rejected by the Committee for Undoing New Titles Sensibly, the CUNTS. And there is just time before we leave you to answer that question. I know it's been bugging you all. Notes and queries. What is a Quarteng?
What is a Quarteng? The Quarteng is one of the mythical creatures in Lewis Carroll's famous poem, The Badenochie, which, as everyone remembers, from that famous reading by Sir Ian McKellen.
"'Twas Kemi and the Slimy Goves did Quasi Quarteng's gimble thus. All Mordaunt were the Tugend hats, and the Nadim Rishis outgrabe truss. Beware the Badenoch, my son, the flaws that bite, the boars that catch. Beware the Javit Javit bird and shun, the frumious Maggie Thatch."
Ladies and gentlemen, Sir Ian. And I'm afraid that is all we've got time for. We're being pulled off from the wings. They want to do Othello in this marvellous stage. A tale of bitterness, jealousy, backstabbing. No resonance for anyone there. Ladies and gentlemen, can I thank you all for coming? Really thank you for coming and making the effort. And thank my amazing cast. Harry Enfield. Jan Ravens. And Lewis MacLeod! Thank you all.
Ian Hislop there. Thanks to him, to you for listening, to the National Theatre for hosting us. We hope you've enjoyed it, and we hope you have a lovely Christmas. We will be back next year with more episodes of Page 94. If you would like to get more of the gags that you've just heard, they are available in the pages of the Private Eye Annual, available lots and lots of bookshops everywhere. And if you would like your gags leavened with some investigative journalism, just go to private-eye.co.uk and see about a subscription. You deserve it. You've probably been very good. And if you haven't, we'll see you in the pages of Private Eye very soon. Thanks for listening. This episode, as always, produced by Matt Hill of Rethink Audio. We'll see you next time. Goodbye.